All right, let's look at Galatians 2. Galatians 2. And we're going to look at verse 16. Galatians 2:16. It's not hard to rush through this book, but since I'm taking all year, I'm taking my time. Because I want you to get the point of the book, and always the beginning of the book tells you the end, even though it's not a mystery to us. We know that the end is good because the beginning prepared us. Now, there's only two ways, and it's always good to be very clear. There's only two ways to go. This will be the right way here. This will be the right way, unless you want me to make this the wrong way. What do you want? So, if there's only two ways in life, it'd be good to find out what they are. And if I were God, then I'd make that my left hand and this my right hand. So, okay, I'll do it that way. I'll do it from God's point of view. This is from God's point of view. God wants us to learn the right way and not the wrong way. So the wrong way is over here. This is the left hand of God. If God were looking straight at you, this would be his left hand. So here on his left hand, he's got one way, and that's under the law. So this is, whether it's revealed by the natural law or revealed by the Mosaic law on Mount Sinai, they both speak of law. So that's the wrong way. The wrong way to please God if you're a sinner. Now, you have to be a sinner, otherwise this doesn't work. If you're a sinner, that word could have various understandings. A natural man, they know they sin, but they wouldn't call themselves sinners. They would call themselves good people, but just goofing up here and there. And most Christians actually think of that too. That's because they don't read the Old Testament and don't want to read it, because it doesn't say that. It says, unless you're perfect, you're not. Unless you're perfect, you're not. And you're not coming home. You're not going to return from heaven because you didn't do everything God said. What did he say? Just two things. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy strength, all thy soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the only two things you have to do, and then God's perfectly pleased. Now, that makes it a little bit harder than just behave yourself. Everybody knows you should behave yourself, but half of the world doesn't want to, rebels, and the other half wants to. Well, there's probably more on the want-to side. Well, I wanted to do what was right, I just didn't do it. And so most people feel guilty because, in fact, all people really feel guilty, whether they feel it or not, they are. It's because nobody has ever kept the law. Nobody. Not even one. Nobody. Nobody. Adam goofed up. Eve goofed up. You know, from then on, it's just been all downhill. Everybody has been imperfect. And so God, feeling bad about that, he decided to reveal through Moses what he meant, because men were misinterpreting it. Some, for example, were creating religions, behave yourself type religions. And do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And philosophies and so on. And so everyone was trying to keep men controlled. And laws do that. Hey, don't go over that speed. Do this. Don't make a left turn on that street. A policeman last night caught me in downtown Dallas. And I was going down a one-way street the wrong way. And it seemed right to me. I mean, there was nobody on the street. And I came out of the parking lot and, you know, just thought, I got to get over to the highway somehow, so I don't know any of the streets. I don't know which way is one way or not. At nighttime, you can't see. It was, what, 8:30 or 9, whatever. So it was dark, and there were, you know, fire engines going by or something or other, you know, three or four of them. And so I was all caught up in that and just, you know, hoping they'd pass by so I could then make a left turn. Well, you weren't supposed to make a left turn off of a one-way street going that way, so that was wrong. And two police cars were right behind me. They were right there. They just saw me doing it. And I said, well, sir, I didn't know it. Well, where did you come from? The parking lot over there on Young and something or other. Lamar and Young. There was a little spot there, and that's what I came out of. And I didn't see any sign that said don't turn right or whatever, so I did. I went the wrong way. That's why there wasn't any traffic. there was nobody there. So he said, well, what were you doing? I was at the convention center. Oh. And he said, well, give me your insurance and so on. Check it all out. So anyway, he later told me, because we're looking for people that are drinking or whatever and so on and so forth. I obviously wasn't. But anyway, he checked it out and I was okay. So he came back and said, well, I'm not going to give you a ticket because you're from Fort Worth. You don't know nothing about Dallas. So I was glad I had the Bible up on my dash. No, he was very nice. But keeping laws, I told him I didn't know. I wouldn't have done it. I didn't know. I didn't know how you got out of the place. Because I could see if I went straight ahead and went into another hotel, the Westin or something. And no matter how I went, it just didn't seem like you could go there because that's a train thing or something, you know. So I got to go this way. How do I get out of here unless I go that way? And so, anyway, he said, no, that's okay. Just go up to Elm Street up there and then turn left. You get on 30. So, Dallas, it's very different than Fort Worth. Especially at night. Especially because I'm blind now. Especially because I'm old. But I did hear those fire engines. I saw them all go by. So, well, they're after somebody. So keeping a law is the only way this world knows. All religions keep laws. All philosophies. All anybody who is into crowd control or child control or self-control is under a law. Everybody. They have to have self-control. Or they have to submit to, you know, the policeman or whatever it is. You have to be under a law. And he was under a law and he could have given me a ticket. But he has some discretion as an officer to realize the guy's not drunk and so on. Because why are you going down a wrong street, you know, going the wrong direction? But he accepted my explanation. And because I was nice and so on, he let me go. So laws can only be fulfilled not because you have self-control, but because you have God control. So, but God, even with God's law, the only reason he gave the law was not so that someone would do it. The only reason he gave the law was not so someone would do it. It would just be to show them that they weren't God. They weren't perfect. Everything they did was not perfect. So it wasn't acceptable. Because God said here in his law, I want you to be perfect. I want you to be holy. I want you to be just like me. So you can boil down all of his law into one word. Be just like God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Basically just do what he says. Obey what he says and do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And nobody's ever done that. Nobody. 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 No, not a natural man. A natural man has never done that. All have sinned. All. How big is the word all? How many does it include?
Everybody.
Yeah, there's no exceptions. All is an unexceptional word. There's no exceptions. So if all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you're guilty under the law. So God provided another way over here on the right hand. Okay, so on God's right hand, there's another way. I want you to pay very close attention to what I'm saying. Very close. Stop looking at that baby. Hi there. Yeah. He said, I know that language. So he's into mercy. That guy's into mercy. No, what's his or her name?
Judah.
Judah. Hi. Hi, Judah. He's happy. You must be good parents. Perfect. He doesn't know you're imperfect.
Not yet.
No. He'll learn. Yeah. See, I like that. Yeah. That's good. Happy. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
You see, that baby is not, you know, doubting. He's not even thinking about right and wrong. He's just happy when someone shows him some attention, right? Praise the Lord. It's great. So God wants everyone to be happy all the time. That's why he gave the law. He gave the law, not so you'd do it, but so you wouldn't do it. He gave the law so that you wouldn't do it. He knew that no one would do it. How many know God knows everything? And since he knows everything, why would he give a law that no one would do? He deliberately not only wrote it on your heart, natural, but he also revealed it to Moses. That is not natural, supernatural. He actually brought that word down on earth so we'd hear it and made sin exceedingly sinful. In other words, he made it very clear. It isn't just like, do good, don't do bad. It's like this. Good is, do what I say, everything I say. And he made clear, 10 commandments. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So there it was. And so now you knew exactly what he wanted. Be perfect as I'm perfect. Be holy as I'm holy. Same way I'm holy, you be holy. Well, that's great, because that's what Judah is going to learn. I got to be just like my parents. I'll bet he's learning English. I bet he's going to learn English. I don't know why I think that, but just because the parents, you should be like your parents. You should look like them, then you should act like them, right? So if they're Democrat, he'll be a Democrat. If they're Republican, he'll be a Republican, and so on and so on. Because you are to follow your parent. Well, God is the father of all people, but not the spiritual father of all people, because they don't really know him. They don't know him. This kind of knowing here is to know who you are. I'm a creature of God, so I have to do everything he says. So yeah, they have different laws in Mexico. They have different laws in China. They have different laws in India. I mean, all countries are different. Saudi Arabia has different laws. Everywhere you go in the world, it's different rules or laws, but God gave one for everybody. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. And a second is like unto it. Love your neighbor exactly as you love yourself. And everybody loves themselves. So therefore, love your neighbor in exactly the same way. Not less, not more. Exactly. Well, that's powerful. So we all know that everybody loves themselves. But don't be selfish. But be a self that loves himself, but love your neighbor as in the same way you love yourself. So if you loved yourself, you'll love Judah, right? You're going to love him exactly as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to love him. Did you hear what I just said? So people that criticize you or you can't get along with, they don't like themselves long before they don't like you. Amen. The problem is always in you. Why? Because if people don't like themselves, they're not going to like anybody else either. It just works that way. So if you don't like yourself, but God loves me, and therefore I love me. And as you love Judah, he's going to love himself, and he's going to love other people too. He's going to be very open to other people. Why? Because he's not going to be afraid But if you live in a tense home, if you live in a troubled home, then the little kid picks that up. They're smart. There's a problem here. You know, and they can sense that. Amen? So you've only got a couple of years to get fixed up there. I don't think your wife can change you, but you need changing. Because Judah will catch you. He's got good eyes. Can follow you around. So, this oversight over here is mercy. Let's say somebody sins. I'm just making this up, of course. Let's say somebody doesn't keep God's law perfectly. Well, that's okay. Run over here. Here's what God wants here is mercy. But how did he do the mercy? Well, he didn't do it by just forgiving you. He did it by giving you Jesus Christ to die for all your sins, to be buried for all your sins, to resurrect for all your sins. Why does he have to do all three? Because when he dies for all your sins, then your sins are buried. Next. First he dies for them, says, forgive everybody. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Now, everybody's sins are forgiven, but you'll still go back and do them again. So then he gets buried, so now it's really clear you don't have any hope. Once you're dead, you're dead. But then he raises up again so he can live inside of you and help you. And so now there's a kind of a partnership between you and Jesus, right? So now Jesus is in me and I'm in him. There it is. The both of you together. So this mercy thing is not just he forgives you and then lets you go. Oh, it's okay. No. He still wants you to keep this law. But he wants you to do it perfectly, and you couldn't do it perfectly without him. Did you hear me? That's why people need help. They need help. Judah, if you just leave Judah alone, he won't even feed himself. He will not make his bed, and he will not know where the bathroom is. If you just leave him all by himself, Judah, this is your house. Just take care of yourself here. Do the best you can. He won't do it. He has to have mama all the time. Daddy's irrelevant, but mama is necessary. He's not even equipped to take care of Judah. You see what I'm saying? He's not equipped physically. He's not equipped. Can't do it. So it's good to have a wife when you have a baby. It's very good. It's a very good idea. But the baby is not going to bond with the daddy. He's going to bond with the mama. Because already nine months, they were just with mom. And they have a close bond that never, ever, ever goes away. Never. And so that's a powerful thing. And then as you grow up, then of course dad is a something. But it takes a while for dad to be something, you know. So you have to learn then, how do we raise someone, how do we bring up someone to do what you're told, to do what's right, and to not do what's wrong? Well, so God has this law that says, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength, and don't worship your neighbor, just love your neighbor. So you're loving God by worshiping him, but you're loving your neighbor. So worship is easy. Thank you, I praise you, I adore you. That's all it is. But you don't say that to people. So that your worship belongs totally only to God, right? So what God is looking for is people that will do this. But you can't do it apart from him. But in him, you can do all things. So relationship is much more important than performance. Relationship will bring about performance, because Jesus, who does keep all the law, because he is the end of the law, he's what the law is all about. Jesus does love, you know, perfectly. Well, then he will affect you over here so that you actually keep it, because he kept it for you, then in you, then through you. Does that make sense? So there's only two ways to please God, the wrong way and the right way. How many know that the wrong way doesn't work? You alone trying to perform for God. So I did not raise my children to perform. I didn't I didn't get married to Peggy so she'd perform. I didn't care if she performed. I don't care if she performs. That's between her and, you know, herself and God and so on. So, yeah. He's preaching. He's going to be a preacher when he grows up. Now, did you know that children that are loved just naturally want to do what their parents do? I don't know if you know that. If they see them speaking a certain language, they'll speak it. If they see them smiling in a certain way, they'll crick their mouth or whatever. They'll smile just like you do. And when they laugh, they'll laugh the same way you do. I mean, it's funny about kids. Have you seen that, Cynthia?
I work with babies.
Yeah. It's amazing. They watch you for, you know, a year or so, just checking you out to see how you laugh, to see how you, you know, what you do. And they're going to copy what you do. So children are not bad. It's only parents. I mean, is there, everything's up to the parent. That's a pretty big thing. Got to look exactly to this parent here, see what kind of a good parent you are. And if you have any flaws in you, they'll pick them up. They'll pick them up. Did you know that children will pick up all the flaws of their parents? I know Margaret has. She's got all of Mom's worst traits and all of mine. So that kind of messes her up a little bit there. A few of your own. She added a little bit there. So there you have it. And so God is the only guarantor of this whole deal. I mean, he set it up. So he gave you a way you couldn't do. This way, this path, this means to the end is not going to work for anybody. Nobody under law has ever behaved. Nobody. Nobody under law has ever done what God wants, not what people want, not what the church wants, not what society wants, what God wants. What does God want? He hates people going this way. He did not give the law so anyone would do it. He never gave this law so that anyone would keep it. Did you hear me? Because this is the opposite of everything every other church teaches, and they're all wrong. I'm right. God gave the law, and I'm getting right out of the Bible. God gave the law just to expose your sin, not to get you to feel bad about it, not to get you to change. Did not. Never wanted you to change. Never wanted you to feel bad. He gave the law so that Jesus could die for you. And Jesus could forgive you. And Jesus could give you his Holy Spirit. And Jesus could perfect you. And Jesus could cause you to inherit happiness every day of your life. Forever and ever and ever. Now that's all a gift. Gift, 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 gift. This one's free. This one's all God keeping his promise. This one's all me trying to keep his law. Stop it. You can't do it. I mean, you can do it all you want, but it won't work. You'll never be perfect. How many know there's no perfection over here? People that have a law are going to be miserable. Now, even if they're proud, even if they're proud over other people who didn't do what they know is right and true and good and so on and so forth, it doesn't matter. They're going to hate themselves for doing the judging of other people who couldn't do it. Because that's just the way you're made. That's the way you're made. If you judge others, you judge yourself. I don't care. You can't escape it. So if you want other people to behave and you judge them and look down on them and despise them and try to correct them, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. It's better if you just took care of yourself. It's better if you just took care of yourself, because you have as many problems as anybody else in the whole world. You are no better than anybody else. So the best thing is to figure out that you're a contradiction. You are an absolute walking contradiction with all of your laws and all of your rules and expectations and control freak stuff and so on. It's not going to work because you yourself can't even live up to your own law. And you know that intuitively. Intuitively. That is not by the Bible. Just by nature, innately. So everybody knows. Now, there are two Greek words Well, there's actually four or five. But there's two Greek words that I want to talk about. Oida or eido, they're both the same word, just different forms, means that you know something innately without the Bible, without God's revelation. You just know something innately like everybody else, intuitively, that I don't like you or I like you. It's just intuitive. It's just something you know in a second. Boom. You just know it. And you don't know how you know it, but you just know, I don't like her. I don't want to be with you. So just things you know intuitively. And it just comes with the territory because you're a person. Hey, I don't like what you just did. And so on. You just intuitively know, I want to get away from you or whatever. And so people then have that kind of knowledge. But eido means two things. It means to see something with your eye. So your eye actually sees them. But then it also means, it can mean, more than just seeing, because that's another Greek word, blepo. But this one is just eido. I see it and then I perceive it. In other words, my senses see something and my brain, my mind, gets it. Ah, I don't like that person. I saw what you did and now I know I don't want to be with you. Or I want to hurt you. Or I want to get even. Or whatever. Okay, so this word eido is different than gnoso or gnosis or... And it's got a lot of forms. So, eido is the word that's used today in the scripture I'm reading. Knowing, not gnosis, experiential. This one is intuitive knowledge. I just know it as a human being, that nobody can keep that law. Knowing that no man can be justified, knowing how? Intuitively. In other words, this is not... a Christian. We're not talking about a Christian, a Jewish person. We're just talking about anybody, everywhere, knows that I can't be perfect. Everybody knows it. And little kids, as Judah grows up, he will actually have a knowledge, uh-oh, I didn't do right. And they use that word, uh-oh, sometimes. Uh-oh, you know, I wasn't supposed to do that. And they just know I'm not perfect. And then they want to know from their parent, do you love me anyway, or are you going to change now? Because they can see you frowned at them or said, no, or stop that, or whatever. And they can tell right away, whoa, I didn't feel good about that. I saw the way you put your eyebrows and so on. I saw, whoa, she's not happy. She doesn't like me. She wants to throw me away. Little kid, this is not big people. This is little kids. They are smart. They don't always understand all the words, but they watch your face and they see the way you do it with your mouth and your and so on. Because they're perceiving it with their eyes. So it means to see. Eido. To see. Like idolatry, it comes out of that word. Something you can see. All idols have visibility. No idols are invisible. Our God is invisible. You cannot see him. You could see Jesus on earth, but you couldn't see that he was God. You had to have some kind of knowledge that he was God. That's like Peter got a revelation from God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that was a revelation because you couldn't look at him and know that. He didn't have any shirt on that said Superman or something. There's no way they knew. How can they know who you are? So when people look at you, and if you dress up nice like I do, if you dress up nice all the time, they think, well, he's a nice person. But I'm not. I'm not. It's a complete deception. It's just I always dress up so I look nice, but I'm actually not at all. But because of Jesus Christ, I am. But that's another word, gnosis. So gnosis is a whole nother word about know, but it's experiential. I don't love Jesus because I'm a Christian and go to church. I love Jesus because he first loved me. And I established a love affair, a relationship with him, and I'm not the same person anymore. I'm not the same. I can still act like the old person because I forget every once in a while who I am. But I immediately am convicted by the Holy Spirit. inside of me who's also here. I could put another chair on here, Holy Spirit. But it's just the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. So I could put them all up there. And then that's the new Christian. But most of us are not yet matured, right? Most of us are not matured. We're Christians, but maybe we're not mature. Maybe we don't always forgive other people as God has forgiven us. Maybe we don't always help one another as God has helped us. Maybe we don't always help the other person to get all the profit and advantage and success that they're looking for. Maybe we're not always on their side, but God is always for us. And that helps us to always be for others. Right? So I'm always for Margaret. Always. No matter what. She's the best. And she can tell you, I always say that. And we never depart without saying, you're the best. She is the best. Right, Margaret? And what do you say? She says back to me, I'm the best. That's why I say it to her, to get that back. No, I don't do that. Actually, I don't do that. I just think she's the best, and now it's a habit. And I just say it, whether I mean it or not, I just say it. Yeah, yeah, don't have to be, she doesn't expect genuine. It doesn't have to be genuine. Just say it anyway. And I say it to Peggy, and I say it to all kinds of people. As a matter of fact, I don't discriminate anymore. I just will say it to anybody. I don't even have to think about it. Alex is the best, you know. Jerry, you're the best. That's good. That's powerful. See, that's good. That's how heaven on earth takes place. Two people who both know Jesus loves them, know it. I do. They have intuitive knowledge, but they also have revealed knowledge through Jesus Christ that I know where it came from. It was from Jesus and me being one. He was in me and I was in him and he was in the Father and I'm in him and the Father's in him and the Father's in me and, you know, all of that. I don't even understand all that, right? I don't have any, you know, knowledge of that except gnosis, because I can't see that. Right now, I don't see my heavenly, you know, life. I can't see it. I can see occasionally and I know that was Jesus, but I can't see it all the time. But someday, I'll see it. So I already know right now, and I'm totally comfortable with the fact that even though I don't always behave right, sometimes I forget and get under a law again and get under a control thing or whatever, but then I always run back over here to the gift. Did you know that you can always be safe here? You don't need to understand it. This is all you need to understand is Jesus loves you, this you know. For the Bible tells you so. You sing that song to Judah someday. And he'll learn it, and it'll be the key to his whole life. That his whole life is just based on the Bible teaching us something I don't see, and I don't even know it innately. I don't know it intuitively. But something I know intuitively is that I'm not perfect. I do know that intuitively, that I am not always doing right. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I know I didn't do it. I was supposed to say, I love you. And I instead said, I don't like you. I just said it. And so that can happen, right? And I'm meaning to wound you. I'm not doing it accidentally. I wanted to hurt you for saying that and doing that and being that and so on. Has anybody ever done that? You've gotten even with somebody and then added a little bit more. And I want to make sure they don't do it again. So I hurt them good. So, can you see why it's hard to control people? We are uncontrollable. That's why you have to be born again over here. You can't just be the natural person over here keeping a law. Whether it's Buddhism or Hinduism or Satanism or whatever it is, somebody's always trying to control somebody else or themselves. Right? It doesn't work. I don't care what law you come up with, you won't keep it. With all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. You can't do it. So he gave you a law that you couldn't keep. Put you in debt that you couldn't pay. Then he came along and gave you a free gift that you couldn't earn. That's amazing. So you see what kind of a God we have? He's a loving, unconditionally loving Father. All right. Now, have I taught you enough right now? Edo is the word that's going to be used here. Edo means to see something through your senses and then perceive deeper intuitively. I can't be perfect. I just can't. Hard as I try to please my mother, to please my father, to please God, whatever, I can't do it. I just can't. So, I just want you to know something. God never wanted you to. Never wanted you to. He never wanted you to. The only reason he gave it is for Jesus to keep that law. You know what? Jesus kept that law. But he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. And then he came over here and said, Jim, I kept the law for you. Don't worry. Sit down here. Sit in my lap. Just sit here in my lap. I'll take care of you. I'll forgive you every day. His mercies are new every morning. I'll forgive you every day. I'll help you every day. Finally, I'll perfect you all the time, forever and ever, and so on. And when that's all done, then we'll be married. He always marries what's perfect. He won't marry what's imperfect. If you got a spot or a wrinkle, he's not going to marry you. How many know you probably have a couple of spots? You know, if you have them. Until he comes back, you will have spots and wrinkles. But the moment he comes back and you see him as a believer, you'll suddenly look pure. You'll act pure. You'll be pure. That's amazing. We haven't seen that. Nobody's seen that yet. You don't see that with your eye. Edo. You have to see that gnosis. So, gnosis, G-N. But the G is silent. So it's just gnosis. You can't see gnosis or gnosis with your eye. Nor can you perceive it in your mind. That's this chair over here. But this kind of knowledge is going right to the heart. Here, God loves me, and I'm a sinner. And I have to be a sinner for him to love me. If I was righteous, he wouldn't love me. That is, if I tried to see I'll be righteous over here on my own apart from him, he would not then make an offer to me. But when I see intuitively, Edo, that I'm not justified by works of the law, I can't. I just can't always please daddy and mommy. I just can't please people. I just can't be perfect. How many of you know we fail from time to time? From time to time. Like every nanosecond, maybe. We're always failing God's perfection. Because he created you to be a steward, his trustee, his servant on earth to do his will and his pleasure. He created you, and that would cause you to be happy. But nobody ever found happiness on earth because they couldn't keep the law. They could never keep the law. The law was too high. I always gave my kids laws that they could not keep. I always gave them laws they could not keep. And I did it deliberately so that they'd realize they needed mercy. And then I taught them how to say, Dad, I know I deserve a spanking for what I did, but could you show me mercy? Because you said, I know what I did was wrong, but what you said, you love me unconditionally. Now, don't forget that. And Margaret was the best. Margaret was absolutely the best of all the children. She had that down, that she could sin, do what she wanted, but then force me to keep my promise that I loved her unconditionally. Dad, I know you said I can't go to Six Flags today with my friend, but just remember, you love me, and you want everything good for me. You want all the blessing for me, not for yourself. Just remember that. Now, I'm going to ask you one more time. And Margaret was awesome at that. She was good. She abused me all the time. But you know what? I loved it. I loved it. Why? Because that's a relationship. Do you see how it wasn't based on a law? It was based on mercy. And it was based on the fact that I obligated myself and made a promise to always bring her into the world and then to take care of her for her own blessing and her own good. And then when she became 21 or, you know, whatever age, that's when she realized, okay, he's not ever again going to give me a command, ever, inside or outside. He's not going to ever expect me to do anything. He's just going to let me go, and whatever I do, he's for it. Even if it's wrong, even if it hurts her, that's all right. You're free. You're an adult. From now on, it's adult to adult. It's not parent to child. Do you all understand what I just said? Why? Because it's better to have a relationship with somebody than it is to have performance. Why? Performance is too hard. Little kids learn to obey, but they don't like it. And sooner or later, they're going to rebel. Now, I did not try to find out what her rebellion was, because I wasn't interested in it. I wanted her just to know the relationship. I love you no matter what. But until she was 21, she wasn't sure. She wasn't sure. But when she was 21, I said, that's it. No longer am I the dad and you the child. Now we're both adults. So whatever you want to do with us, it's based purely on love. Free. You can make mistakes all day long. It's all right. You're the boss. You're the boss over that. Amen? They see, if you don't let people go, you don't find out what they're made out of. When you let people go, they could make bad decisions. Well, people do them daily. People make wrong decisions every day. They just do. They just do. And if you were God, you'd want to, you know, slay them. Crucify them. You know, I mean, I do. When people don't do what I know is best for them, I want to get them. I want to choke them. You know, I'm just trying to help you. Just trying to do what's right. And so when they don't do it, my first impulse is not Jesus Christ. I love you unconditionally. My first impulse is kill. You didn't do what I said. And I want to immediately instruct them. Didn't I say this? And didn't you say you'd do that? I want to immediately point out their wickedness. God did not teach me that. That's something intuitive with people. They just got to do it. So God is teaching us to be merciful. So I learned to say, Alex, you're the best. I learned to say, I love you just the way you are. And I know you're a mess. But I don't care. Doesn't affect our relationship. Did you all see that? So you learn to talk the way you walk. So since you are not perfect yourself, then don't expect anyone else to be. Since Jesus was perfectly merciful to you, then you can be perfectly merciful to someone else. Because that's how you learn. We love because he first loved us. But the love isn't to give a guy a law or something, you know. That's not love, forcing you to do something you don't want to do. Love is letting you do whatever you do, but just teaching you by example, not just word. And when you do that, people learn. I lost my election yesterday. No, Saturday. Friday. Someday. And I lost it. And so people wondered, because it's the second time I've lost now. People wondered, well, what will be his response? Will he be disappointed or angry or sad or, you know, quit and go home or whatever? And I didn't. And, you know, what I learned is, having lost, I actually won. Because everyone came to me and realized I wasn't ticked or angry, or I was happy as though it was a non-event. It's like, yeah, so I lost. Well, how much did you lose by? I don't know. 26 votes. Well, maybe next time. I said, nope, there's not going to be a next time. I'm not going to do it. I'm 75. I'm on Social Security. So they were amazed that not only that, I sat right in the front row the whole time, you know, so they could all see the loser. Amen? Why? Because I'm a Christian. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I'm not worried about it. I mean, seriously, not at all. And I had a ball, but I didn't have a ball because I did anything anybody wanted. I did what I wanted to do, is get to know people. So I went to the ones that defeated me. I thanked them for this or thanked them for that. And that's how you develop a relationship. Y'all see that? Because I was the enemy and the other guy was my enemy and that kind of thing. So
what was the election about?
I was going to represent Fort Worth to the state. So I would be the one that would represent them on the Republican Party. But I would be the guy. And I've done it 16 years. So it isn't that I don't know the job, and it isn't that I can't do it, and it isn't that I had the most votes, too. I had the most people that could vote if they came, but they did not come. And he didn't have the majority at all. He's never had the majority, and never will have it. But, and everybody knows I'm a nice person, respects me kind of thing, but he gets his people out because he has total control over his people. Had the same exact number last year as he had this year, and it's way under what's needed. Way under. I had way above both times, but they didn't show up because I don't control them. He controls his, and he works hard at it. And when he says do it, they do it. They almost worship him as a god. And so my people, they don't regard me as anything. just serve. You know, so all I do is serve, and I'm happy serving. Why? Because I do it for nothing. I don't want anything. I don't want to be great. I don't have any ambition. Right? You all see that? When you have nothing to gain or lose, you're a better servant. Amen. When you have nothing to gain or lose. How could I want anything to gain? I have everything. Jesus loves me. This I know. I'm totally satisfied. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? I have no fear, no doubts, no worries, no anything. I just freely go about having a good time. And I can get other people. I met the lieutenant governor, and we sat down for an hour and talked. And I just had a ball. And then I met another person, did this and that. And I just met people and had a blast, because even though I'm supposed to go in and sit through a boring thing, I didn't want to, so I just did what I wanted to do. Because I lost. I was rejected. So I had no burdens. I had nothing more to do except go on and have a good time. So I did. I had a ball. And so I came away happy. And not only that, I went to many of my opponents' enemies. And I, you know, blessed them. And I convinced some of them, you made a mistake. You made a mistake because I'm the better servant. Anyway, the point is, I have no malice or no anything. Why? Because everything's going my way, right? Do y'all feel that way? Do y'all feel everything's going your way?
Amen.
Who would like to say it?
Everything's going
yeah.
my way.
Everything. Zippity. I mean, how can it be otherwise? Zippity doo dah. Yeah. How can it be otherwise? If God loves you, if God be for you, who can be against you? I just want to know, who can be against you if God's for you? But I'm not just saying this. I actually believe it. I believe that I didn't lose. I believe all I did was learn a few things and get to know some people and so on and so forth. And I had a ball. So because of that, people are attracted to people who aren't sad all the time. My opponent is. He's always sad because he's always having to control all these cats that he has. Line up. I don't have to. And I don't. And I'm not effective at all. But I know they all love me. It's just that they had something else to do. But I don't control them. I don't want to control them. I like them to do whatever you want to do, do it. So the fact that you promised me that you would come, that you would vote for me, and you would stay to the bitter end is wonderful. But they didn't. But 100, I had 100. And that's pretty good. That's a big number, actually. So that's good. But I lost. Great. Praise the Lord. Why? All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Well, I love the Lord and he loves me, so I'm not worried. I don't need anything. So when you have no agenda, because there's no law, when you have no agenda, you can relax and celebrate. No guilt over the past, no fear of the future. I know that God is for me. No one can be against me. That's amazing. Now, are you that way? How many else?
Amen.
How many else? Okay, let's have one of you stand up and say, you know, that's the way I am, Pastor. I've gone this way of mercy, like you said. I don't want to keep the law and perform over here, like you said. That's the wrong way, that's the right way. That's the wrong way, that's the right way. All right, who wants to testify?
We cannot substitute our own efforts our own good, try to do good deeds, our own charitable giving, or any other effort that we have for the faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen.
So faith is better than works. Grace is better than performance. So if you live as Judah is going to be brought up by two parents that love him totally unconditionally, he will enjoy that and he'll believe he's in heaven. He will not be looking around for something else to give him something. Because he'll be, am I right, Judah? Am I right? Am I right? He said, yeah, you're right. He got a big smile. So he doesn't know anything. What does he know? Oh, you see, intuitively, he knows, I'm okay. Everything's fine. He knows it intuitively. And if I was to come and pinch him, he would know intuitively, I don't like you. He would know, I do not like you. And so when he has a problem, he'll let you know, I don't like that. Right? So people intuitively know right from wrong. Everybody. And everybody's guilty over here. Why did God do this? He wanted everyone to be guilty so that he could give everyone a free gift. As soon as you admit to yourself and to others, I have sinned, fallen short of God's glory. I didn't do what he said. You wanted me to worship him? I didn't. You wanted me to love my neighbor? I didn't. As soon as you admit that, then he comes and says, okay, I got an offer for you. I'm going to give you my son, Jesus Christ. And he's going to do everything under the law for you. Then he's going to do it in you. Then he's going to do it through you. And to God be the glory. Right? Judy, isn't that powerful? It's too sweet. It's too good. No other God does that. No other religion does that. No other philosophy. No other, you know, Masonic lodge or whatever. They can't do that. Everything in Masonry is behave yourself. Everything. And you know what they do in the basement? They misbehave. They do. They misbehave. So everybody that's moral is actually immoral. Did you hear what I just said? Everybody that's pretending to themselves that they're moral, you know, I'm trying my best, I'm doing the best I can. Yeah, but it's not perfect. So you're actually immoral. Yeah, it's funny.
Jim, why did God give the law if he knew that none of us could keep it?
Right. Great question. Did you all hear his question?
Yeah.
Why would God give a law that he knew no one could keep? So that they would then confess and say, I can't do that. So that he could then say, it's okay. I forgive you. You can't say I forgive you if somebody hadn't done anything wrong, right? I can't walk up to somebody and say, look, I just want you to know I forgive you for being no good. You can't. Because they don't know they're no good. But if they know they've sinned against you, then you can say it. Because you are the only one in the relationship that has the power to say it. Because you weren't the one that sinned, you were the one being sinned against. Has God ever been offended by anything Adam did, Eve did, or anybody else in the whole world? Was he ever offended? At any time, was God even the slightest offended? The answer is no. Was he ever offensive? The answer is no. He's never been offended and he's never been offensive. Little Judah doesn't care because he knows he's loved unconditionally. That's why he's relaxed. That's why he's resting. Doesn't have to learn the language. Doesn't have to clean his, you know, room. Doesn't have to make his bed. Doesn't have to go out and work. He doesn't have to do anything because he didn't even know anything. He's just totally happy that, hey, I'm loved. He's into a relationship, right? He doesn't know about God. He doesn't know about anything. He doesn't need to. He's totally happy just the way he is, right? Because he doesn't perform. He doesn't. And he doesn't know what pride is or humility or anything. It's just himself. He's going to be a happy guy. Bring him to church more often. Yeah, he's a great object lesson. Yeah.
Are we all going to leave as happy as you are?
Jim, did God know that Jesus would be coming when he gave the law?
What he just said right there is even more powerful than what he asked before. is, did God know that when he gave the law, no one would keep it? Yes, he did. So Adam and Eve did not surprise him. I can't believe you did that. He wasn't like that at all. He was just said, did you break the law? Did you do what I said not to do? Did you eat of the tree of which I forbade you to eat? Okay, he just asked. Because he knew, she knew, and he knew, Adam and Eve, the consequence that the day you eat of it, you'll die. And so they were reluctant to say yes. They were reluctant to say it. So Adam didn't say it. He said, the woman thou gavest me. He didn't want to say he sinned. He just wanted to say, the woman thou gavest me. She tempted me like that. That's how that happened. But you gave her to me. So I think it's your fault. And so all little kids, Judah will do that someday. When you catch him eating a cookie that he wasn't supposed to eat, he will say, no, I didn't eat it. I did not. You know, yeah, you made those good cookies, you know, and put them within my reach. And so, and then Eve, you would think Eve then would say, okay, I ate the apple first and I gave it to him. She didn't. She just said, the snake. That snake, you put that is your snake that you put there in this garden. And he beguiled me. He's the one that did it. Amen. And you know what? I'm innocent. I just tell you, I am innocent. I'm not going to take the blame for this. Because that tree, you put that nice tree in the garden and then make us walk by it every day because it's right in the middle, whatever room we came through, there it was. And then I looked at it and I examined it. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe that tree will make me wise like some snake, that friendly snake told me. And he said God was a liar, but he was telling me the truth. So I accepted that. So did you see how she, it's just like the people that voted for my opponent, you know, they were deceived, completely deceived. But, you see, God doesn't care. Did you know that God didn't hate anybody at any time, ever? You'll never find God saying, I hate people. I know there's a scripture that says he hated Esau and Pharaoh and so on. All that means is, what he hated was not them. He hated that they were not going to come home and find happiness by their choices. That's all he meant. He didn't mean I hate them. He meant I can't have a relationship with them because they won't confess their sins to me so that I can forgive them and put Jesus Christ forward. So, Jesus Christ was laid down not 2,000 years ago on Calvary. He was crucified 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years before the earth world was created, before the foundation of the world. So 2 plus 4, 6. 6,000 years ago, God laid him down before there even was an earth, before there was a heavens. There was nothing. And then he spoke it into being. But Jesus was the thing by which he measured everything that he did. So the wisdom of this world is built on that guilt that you would have as a sinner, that he would then, through the whole universe, he would then forgive you and offer you a way out. Two ways up here, wrong way, right way. This is the wrong way. This is the right way. Relationship with Jesus Christ, not Buddha. Relationship with Jesus Christ, not Masonic order. Relationship with Jesus Christ, this is the only way. Not man behaving on his own, for God, but God keeping his promise for you. It's better. It's better for God to keep his word than for me to keep mine. Because I can't keep my word, no matter what. Right? Am I right? Yes. Everybody here has sinned and fallen short. It's okay. He only showed you that so you'd say yes, and then he'd say, I have a solution for you. My son, Jesus Christ. And for us, he already died for us. He already was buried for us. He already has risen up from the dead, and he already lives inside of you. You have nothing to worry about. You don't ever have to worry. He'll never change his mind. Never, 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 never. We do. We change our mind. He can't. We can lie. He can't. Let God be true and every man a liar. So every man can lie. Every man. Do I have any volunteers here today? I did lie one time. One time. Yeah, I lied one time. And some of you are a two-time, that's bad. And, do not keep it up once you lie. Tell the truth from then on. But nobody's ever done that. Nobody. We all have lied. We all have deceived other people into thinking I'm something that I'm not. Right? But God, if God be for you. So, here's what it says. I'm just going to read it. Knowing that, what kind of word is that? Is that gnosis or eido? Eido, whatever. Both of them are true.
What verse, Pastor?
Oh, 2:16. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man, anthropon, is not justified, made right with God. To be justified is, I'm justified under the law because I did everything I was supposed to do. I worship God with all my heart and soul and strength, and I love my neighbor as myself. Okay, but this says, no. Knowing that nobody ever was perfect, nobody ever did perfect works, nobody ever was just like God. Remember, he made you in his image, and he made you according to his likeness so that you could be just like him. But nobody ever did it. Nobody. And intuitively, we all know that I'm not perfect, and neither is anybody else. We just know it intuitively. We don't trust anybody. Judah trusts us because he's been loved a lot, but he wouldn't otherwise. Because you're a stranger. We're all strangers. But because he trusts his parents, he gets a little confused when he sees other people. He's not sure if he's supposed to like them or not. But if they click, like I do, then he likes it. He likes that. And if you smile at him, I don't know how little kids learn to smile back. Because babies don't smile when they come out. But in a few months, they already know how to smile back. How do they learn that? And how do they learn that laughter is better than crying. I don't know. I don't know how they learn that. It just seems to go with the baby that they know that. And I'm amazed at that, that they know that laughter is better than non-laughter. And they like you to keep it up. A little child likes to keep it up. They just feel good. It's like, I feel a lot better. I feel a lot better. And so it's fun for little kids in this world. It's a big adventure. Because they don't have any laws. There are no laws for a child. They only have relationship. Bad relationships would produce sadness. Good relationships produces happiness. That's it. That's all God's ever wanted. I want that for everybody. We talked to one lady yesterday who's, sleep around person. And I know that. But I enjoyed talking to her, even though she's a sleep around person. And everybody knows it. But so what? To me, it's the same. I didn't find anything that I couldn't love just because she does that. I don't care about her life or how she got that way or whatever. All I know is she's a person. And Jesus loved persons like that. And I had a good time. So I wasn't saying, I'm going to try to mention to her what she's done or punish her for that or whatever. No, the opposite. And I'm not thinking of that at all. I'm just thinking, she needs building up and love and not that kind of love that she's talking about, but another kind of love. She needs someone to respect her even though she does not deserve it. Can you love somebody that doesn't deserve it? Raise your hand if you can do that.
Amen.
Yeah, you are made that way, but most of us don't. Most of us do not. If somebody doesn't deserve it, I want to give them what they deserve under a law. Well, they did that to me, so I got them right back. Isn't that fun to do? Yeah, but it's just not Christianity. It's not this relationship over here where God, because God first loved us, we love others. This is where you can love somebody that's under a law as a self-righteous person or as a rebellious person. Either way, you can only produce two things out of the law, rebels and self-righteous people who are lying. That's all you can produce, hypocrites. Do you see that?
Yes.
So the purpose of the law is to make us either a hypocrite or to make us a rotten, no good person, and then we know that. So the law is very beneficial. It's a wonderful thing. It's a gift of God to get his law, because that's when the first time I look in the mirror, I realize I am not what I appear to be.
Praise.
I'm not even what I want to be. I didn't want to be like this. I didn't want to do this. Why did I do it? Well, that's called sin. Satan can get to me easily because of my flesh. So I have to be born again, filled with the Spirit and led of the Spirit. Otherwise, I'll end up over there. And you can't get to God through that one. Every religion in the world, every government, everybody is always trying to pretend that they are what they ought to be when they're not. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's why I'm a better leader than the other fella. Because he doesn't know that. He's working so hard to get all the power and so on. And now he's gotten it twice. From, you know, and he looked up to me before. I was, you know, the leader person. But now he has all the power and he's gathered it. And he's doing all kinds of things that are wrong. And but he's addicted now to it. And people want him to be their God. They want him to be their leader. And they look to him for everything. Every one of them, they all look to him. How he's voting or what he's saying or whatever. And they don't look to me. Do you all see that? So that's funny. But it doesn't matter because sooner or later I'll get them anyway. Why? Yeah, because I love them. I love them. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're my followers or his followers or whether he got it by deception or truth or whatever. I still love everybody. I have total, complete love for them. I just probably am not going to do it through that mechanism anymore. I'll probably do it through another way, like here. Now I get to, you know, punish you all by teaching you these true things. But the truth will set you free. No guilt, no fear. Only celebration. No guilt of the past. No fear of the future. Only celebration. I celebrate every day. I don't care what circumstances are like. I don't change. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change because someone hates me. Oh, by the way, somebody wrote a scurrilous letter. That means a bad one. And it showed what a rotten person I was because I was running against this other guy. And so someone thought they could help him out by writing a rotten letter about me. You know anything about politics, you know, those are fun to do, negative, you know. And it was the most awful. They just tried to paint me in the most ungodly and so on, hypocritical, and everything was great. And so it might have backfired on him because maybe people felt sorry for me or something. I don't know. But somebody then, Peggy, reminded me this morning, someone said, I was surprised you even got any votes or 100 votes. How'd you even get 100 votes? Because of that letter. And he made sure on every meeting that we were at, he put that down again and again so that everybody knew how much and he came alongside me. Are you hurting yet? You know, he was just mocking me the whole time. It was great. He was so nasty. And I just said, you know, hey, love you, brother. No problem. You know. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to help your friend out. You're just trying to defend him. It's okay. Go for it. But it may not work. You know, all of your hatred. How many know that as a Christian, you don't return evil for evil. You return good for evil. Right? And so you love people like that. Because, and I told them that. I said, by the way, I know you're hurting on the inside. I am not. Yeah, you are. And I know it's because you don't know the truth. You're ignorant. I'm not ignorant. You're ignorant. He swore at me and all this stuff. And so I said, well, that's okay, because I would love to help you, but I don't think you want help right now. But you may at some point. And so I don't dislike you at all. I believe someday your eyes will be open. You'll see that. So obviously he's been through something, right? And he couldn't receive love, but I gave it to him anyway. And you know what? I planted a seed.
Amen.
And so you have no idea what that will... It could be 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I don't care. But I planted a seed in him that you are wrong about what you're thinking. And I told him, you're wrong. You're completely wrong. You don't know anything about me. You know nothing because you don't even know who you are. But I didn't do that to hurt him. I did that to help him. But he is not in a teaching mood right now. He was in a win-win mode, and so he had to destroy me. But so, in spite of that, I still got 100 votes, and so it was neat. And anyway, it was powerful. It was wonderful, and I believe that I won over all of everybody else that was in there who had read that. or who had not read that. Some said I didn't read it, but others, I'm sure, read it. But I still got 100 votes, and just he only had a few votes more, so not that big a deal. But winning is not what you want in life. Don't worry about winning. How many want to win? Because you want to get the prize. You want to get, you know, something good back for it. And that's okay in this world. You do have to perform in this world. I mean, if you don't perform in this world, no one's going to help you. So you either that or you're a criminal or something. Because you have to perform. But in the kingdom of God, you don't have to do anything. Let God do everything. I love passive righteousness, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we who have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith that relates to Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no man, no flesh, ever be justified. So, before the foundation of the world, before there was a law, the law wasn't given all the way up for, you know, 4,500 years into the world before the law was given by God. They only had the law written on their heart, the natural law. But whether it's natural or whether it's revealed, which is the same law, by the way, it's the same exact law. It's just that the revealed is more complete. It's fuller so that you can be exceedingly sinful. In other words, nobody can escape. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, even if you have anger in your heart and you didn't stick a knife in somebody, you've already murdered them. There's no difference. So it's just making sin exceedingly sinful. So the best has been saved to the last. How many know that in a few years, we'll be ruling and reigning with Christ on the earth? Right here. There'll be no more bad guys ruling and reigning. Amen? So the end then tells you right now where you are, how far you've gotten, and which way you're going. But you can't get there. He can only bring you there. Just get in with him, and it's a free ride. We took the train. I've never taken the train. But instead of parking downtown where I don't know it and so on, just took the train. It takes 40 minutes or something. And you just sit there, and it goes right to the place, and you just get out, and there you are. You didn't have to look for parking, and then they pay $15 or $20 or whatever you have to pay, $10 or something. It only costs $2.50 because we're old. And so Peggy and I, for $5 every day, could ride the train, and I tell you, we met the most incredible, interesting people. And they want to have a lifelong relationship now because they were just fascinated. And it was unbelievable. We just read miraculous how we met the right people. But maybe anyone we meet is the right person. But all I'm saying is it was unbelievable. And so we developed real relationships right there on the train. They have a double decker, and you can sit on top and look out over all everything, and it's awesome. It was so fun. And then you can write, and you can read, and you can do anything you want while you're there. Walk around, anything. I think it's awesome. So, nobody can be justified by works. Everybody can be justified. And the only way you can be right with God, the only way, justified means rightly related to, pleasing God's will and pleasure, doing exactly what he wants. What does he want? You to behave? No. He wants to behave for you. Does God want you to behave over here and perform? Or does he want you here just to believe passively? Does he want you to be active, really, really, really good? Or does he want to be good for you because he's the only one that's good? Which? Does Judah have to do anything to please you? You're his dad. Does he have to do anything? Do you require of him anything? Nothing. You can't lecture him or anything. There's nothing you can do. It wouldn't help. Right. Because there's nothing for him to do. You do everything for him. He doesn't even know that you work. He just knows you're gone. You know, where'd that go? He doesn't know what you're doing, why you're doing it. He doesn't know about the economy. He knows nothing about the Trump, cruise thing. He doesn't know anything. He has no clue as to what's going on, but he's completely happy. That's what God wants. So, who's happy completely? Praise God. Why? Did you do it from chair, that chair over there on the left side of God or on the right side? It's all mercy. It's all just mercy. It's a free gift. Totally free. You can never lose it. Even if you went back to keeping the law again, you can always go back anytime you want. You can go back anytime you want. Oh, I was witchcrafted for a while, and I went back to keeping the law again. I forgot all about who I really was. I'm not much of a good Christian. No. You're a good Christian if you believe, not if you do. Oh, well, I was talking about my behavior. Well, yeah, but don't ever look at your behavior. Who cares about your behavior? Look at Jesus' behavior. If God be for you, who can be against you?
Praise the Lord.
Nobody. Nobody. The answer's in the Greek. In the English, it's not. It's a question. It's not in the Greek. It's a statement. Because God is for you, no one can be against you. But it doesn't say that in English. But it does say it in the Greek. So it's the form of a question, but in the Greek, English can't do that, by the way. English can't do that, but the Greeks knew how to do that. And it's all in the grammar. You can see how it's structured. If God be for you, that actually says, because God is for you, no one can be against you. It's powerful. So God is for you.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, God is for you.
God is for you.
Amen. So since everyone is loved same as Jesus Christ, if he loves Jesus more than you, he's a liar. If God loves Jesus Christ more than you, he lied. And he doesn't love you because you aren't like Jesus Christ or you are like Jesus Christ. He just loves you. And Jesus Christ loves you. And he died for you. And he's helping you. And he's doing all the action. You don't do anything. I love it. Relax.